Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Okay, people, whoever's cocaine this is in the White House, you need to fess up right now. Okay, there can be forgiveness, but we're going to have somebody.
Someone's going to have to take the fall.
All right, Steve Jordahl. Steve Paisley Jordahl. Steve, hey. You know whose cocaine this is?
Well, no, I actually went to Washington, D.C. this weekend to celebrate the 4th of July, and I decided to take a cooking class. I did tour the White House, and I had a bag of flour with me that I was going to use later, and I don't know what happened to it. So it might be me.
Well, this couldn't have been you because the hazmat team tested this.
Yes.
And it came out positive for cocaine.
It's not Arm & Hammer.
I thought that $20,000 was a lot for a bag of flour.
For a bag of flour.
Wow.
They saw
poor Steve was, you were duped, Steve.
Oh,
you were tricked.
Shoot.
That would have been the best cake ever.
I know. Wow.
Or the worst.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, the Secret Service is, I guess, I don't know if they're the investigator. I don't know if they'll ever find out where this cocaine came from.
There's got to be cameras all over the place. What I want to know is
who decided this was a good idea to release it to the news media? Or did...
Well, now my understanding, Steve, I thought you were the one who kind of... That this was somebody heard the scanner?
There was a scanner. There is, and I think you guys played scanner audio of the hazmat team finding this. It's that if they called DC's hazmat team and they shut down the entire White House while they were
like
investigating
the DC
this.
Police?
Yeah. Well, I don't think the White House has a hazmat team. So if they find white powder in the White House, it could be flour. It could be cocaine. It could be ricin.
Right.
I mean, it could be anything. So they close everything down. They bring in a hazmat team, which has, I don't know if that's exactly the only way that they found out, but that certainly made it public.
I'm kind of stunned that a police scanner of a hazmat team searching the White House would be public for everyone to hear. Aren't you a little surprised at that?
Yeah, and I asked this morning, and I have yet to find out how this was made public, unless it was leaked. I mean, do you know?
No, I don't know specifically. I know that that was a public broadcast. I don't know, and that was. It would take a while. Maybe they have on-site testing, so it would take. They could have been still on-site. I mean, there was police. And the White House was shut down, and lights and sirens going to the...
So the news media is going to ask questions.
Yeah, and they live there. So.
And the Secret Service did release a statement about it. But
there's no, like, you can't turn it into Channel 24 to listen to the Secret Service scanner at the White House.
I don't think you can, but you can probably turn it to 24 and listen to the D.C. hazmat team. That's just a regular police department.
Okay,
I think
if they go into the White House searching for something, you would think it would be. You think they might turn off the microphone?
Well, we got an administration who the person in charge of security and that kind of hiding things at the White House was hired because he was a small person that is non-binary.
Have y'all noticed the last couple of weeks, Hunter Biden's been tagging around with his dad like a puppy dog following its mama.
Yeah.
Have y'all noticed this?
No, he has been.
I'm serious about this.
To Camp David, to the White House library, all those places.
I wondered if he doesn't want him to be talked to by the public or if they're keeping him, they're trying to keep him out of trouble.
Well, you know, Tim, they've got a lot to catch up on. He's never talked to him about his business dealings before, so maybe that's what they're doing.
Touche, Steve. It's kind of weird.
Even the media noted that it was strange that he wound up going to Camp David, talking about Hunter Biden with his dad. But like you said, all the pictures and videos I've seen are those two in close proximity.
Everywhere they're going now, the adult son is like in time out. You know what I'm saying? Huh?
Yeah.
Like, don't you leave our sight.
Right.
Because every time you do, you make the news.
And it ain't good. Every time you do, I get further and further away from winning a second term.
Right. Now, I don't really want to hear about your business deals because I haven't yet. I'm sure that's what he told him. Right. All right. You're listening to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. You know, one part of this whole story with Hunter Biden, and it's a shame anybody who destroys their life like he has, basically. Maybe he can find redemption and give his life to the Lord and change his ways. But thus far, his whole life's been a wreck, just a train wreck, talking about Hunter Biden. And now it's on public display for everybody to see. But for many in the media, they're acting like this is, and this is what Karine Jean-Pierre will talk about if she's asked about it, the public spokesperson for the White House. They're framing it like it's some kind of a relationship between a parent and a 11-year-old. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, people, respect their privacy. This is a parent who loves his son.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's all well and fine.
He has gotten in trouble with the school, but let's give them their privacy.
Yes. But this has been going on with a grown man with children for decades now. So this isn't, you know, something that's a wayward teenager that needs help, is what I'm saying.
Right.
All right, you're listening to today's issues. Go ahead, Steve, next story.
I did have a lot of fun over this last 4th of July. We went to fireworks in the park in Smithville. We're going to do the same thing in Amory.
Smithville where? For people listening in Wyoming.
Okay. Smithville, Mississippi.
Okay.
Which is probably about 40 minutes from where we're sitting right now. It's where my wife and I live. And they had a beautiful celebration in the park. We were going to do the same thing the next night in Amory, Mississippi, but they canceled that stuff. But it was a very nice 4th of July celebration. It, however, happens to be, we happen to be not the only opinion out there, because they're finding that a lot of people, in fact, the New York Times went out looking for this to find people who think this isn't such a great country. And I wanted to
So you're going to bring me down.
Well,
I'll
bring you right back up. One of the squad, Cori Bush, tweeted this out. The Declaration of Independence was written by enslavers and did not recognize black people as human. Today is a great day to demand reparations now. And then Ben and Jerry's, the ice cream, never one to shy away from left-wing causes, tweeted out, the United States was founded on stolen indigenous land. This 4th of July, let's recommit to returning it.
And you're living on it.
Yes, yeah. I don't get that. I just don't get that kind of stuff. But you just lead the way then on Ben and Jerry.
Go back to Europe or wherever you came from.
That's right.
And find some land that somebody didn't steal.
Yes.
Sometime in history. That's what you want to call it.
And they tweeted it.
Yeah. Well, they did.
They tweeted it on that terrible platform offered by Elon Musk.
Awful. Listen, slavery is immoral. It's evil.
Right.
Okay? To enslave anybody anywhere. However, the American founding fathers didn't invent slavery.
Right.
Okay, it goes all the way back to biblical times. And furthermore, the American founding fathers created a document. By the way, all the colonies, a lot of the colonies with respect to slavery, they had to follow British law, which allowed for slavery. They had no choice in the matter, really, in that sense. You know, they were governed by the king. The king's making money off slaves. These are subjects of the king. They can't outlaw. So when we became a country, Stephen McDowell, Providence Foundation, taught me this, and David Barton and others, a large segment of the country outlawed slavery right from the outset. I'm talking about our founding fathers. It was allowed in the southern states for the plantation owners, and only like 10% of the public even owned slaves. I'm not to diminish slavery in America. It's a blight in our history. It caused a civil war.
Right.
Okay. So America suffered because of it. But I'm just saying, these people who want to negate everything and anything the founding fathers did and with this miraculous birthing of a new country because some of them own slaves is to and you discredit any and everything they ever said or did. That's a terrible look at history.
You know, yes. For those that have that look at history and think that how could these founding fathers not realize that slavery was such an evil and do everything they could just outlaw it and everything, there is a modern day equivalent in my mind, and I'm thinking that we're going to get there in about maybe hopefully 20, but maybe 100 years. People are going to look back and say, you know, we used to murder babies.
Yeah,
we used to kill babies, and it used to be totally accepted. It was, you know, and then the Supreme Court ruled, and then pro-life generation. And now we understand that it was immoral, but back then it was part of the culture. And right. This is exactly what it was with slavery.
Well, also the founding fathers said it created documents and laws that set in motion what eventually did lead to the end of slavery in America.
Right.
Okay. The slavery, guess what? You go back in thousands of years of history, Africans sold Africans. Europeans sold Europeans. And so on around. Asians sold Asians. And guess what? When tribes of people took over other tribes, they enslaved the people. So this goes back that people, these American leftists today act like these secular American hating God haters. They act like slavery was a creation of America or something
right.
like that. And so you got to put all this in historical context is what I'm saying. And today, why can't we celebrate America today? Listen, we had our War of Independence. Mm-hmm. That started everything.
Yep.
Then we had a Civil War, which was horrible on both sides, but did lead to the end of slavery and kept the Union together. Then we had the Civil Rights Movement of the 60s. And now, today, there is hope and opportunity for every race, creed, or color in the United States of America. There's nothing holding people back from right. success. And so, why don't we celebrate America?
I heard an interesting thing Bishop E.W. Jackson on his show. On our network, and I don't remember if it was the fourth or the third, but he was explaining this 3/5, you know, because you know, Cori Bush says they didn't recognize black people as human. 3/5 of a person, that's not at all what it was.
Right.
The 3/5 was used for congressional apportionment, and that's all. So when you count the population and you set the number of members of Congress, slaves counted 3/5 of a person in the population. And he pointed out that actually was good for freedom because you had less congressional representation from slave states because they didn't count them as wholly human. I want to play something.
That's certainly looking at the bright side.
Well,
no, I know. I understand the point.
That's what. I believe him. Someone bucking the trend. I talked to you. I decided to look for the rest of the squad, see what things they said about the 4th of July, and I came across this from Ilhan Omar, and it kind of surprised me. Cut 10.
And it is really important for people to stay vigilant and understand that patriotism isn't fully believing in a particular administration. True patriotism is about fighting for your country and its dignity and making sure that the citizens and the constitution of the country is protected and uplifted. And so I hope this particular confusion that a lot of Americans are having about where their allegiance should be, they need to remember that their allegiance is to the constitution, their allegiance is to their country. Their allegiance is to its society, and it isn't about the particular person that is the head of the country.
That's Ilhan Omar?
That's Ilhan Omar. I may never agree with another thing she says, and everything else she does seems to betray that sentiment about our country, but for this 4th of July, I agree with that.
Wow. Wow. I listen, while I was listening to that, I was thinking, are you sure that's Ilhan Omar? Right. So that was her?
That was her. It was
well,
the video.
I agree. I agree with that sentiment. You are not pledging allegiance to a political party or to a particular person. You are saying, and I would say the same thing about the Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. You are talking about the ideas and the institutionalizing of those ideas in a constitution, and you're talking about the country as a whole. And that should be something that we all could celebrate. And, you know, the hostility that we see politically and culturally sometimes makes us forget that this country, my opinion, those ideas, Declaration of Independence, Constitution, the best thing going.
Anyway. Yep.
She's going to be kicked out of the squad today, probably voted out today for that message.
Maybe.
That was too patriotic.
Maybe. And no Ben and Jerry's for you.
Right.
Hey, we're seeing some new polling. On the Republican side of the presidential debates, who's going to be the Republican nominee. And so, you know, there's 10 or 15 people that are in the race. Donald Trump continues to hold a huge lead. In fact, by this survey, which is Political Polls, he's got a 33-point lead over Ron DeSantis, who's at 16%. However, Vivek Ramaswamy is making a move, and he has finally broken in. He's now the third person in double digits with 10% of support.
Really?
Yeah.
Vivek Ramaswamy is?
Vivek who?
Ramaswamy?
Yeah.
Y'all just like saying his name.
I do like
saying. Just need any excuse.
I mean no disrespect. I wish there was a food named Ramaswamy because I would order it every time.
Hey, if he doesn't make it as presidential in the president's race, he can always start a restaurant chain.
Either that, or he probably would be a cabinet member.
No, he's a billionaire. I think he's a young guy too.
You know,
what is he in his maybe 40? Is he 40? I mean, how old?
You have to be. Well, how old do you have to be to be president?
Is it?
I thought 45? That was 35.
Oh, 35. Yeah, you're probably right. Vivek.
Because I ran for president when I was 35. I was waiting.
He's 37, so I guess 35 is the. I think he's got.
Listen, that guy's 35. That guy's brilliant. I heard him speak in Florida. I heard him speak on a Friday night, and then I heard Governor DeSantis speak on a Saturday night. So that was those two excellent conservative speakers. But Vivek.
Ramaswamy?
He is. That guy's he's highly intelligent and as I said, he's a billionaire. Is he a stock? Did he make his money in stocks or something? I forgot how he made his money. But anyway, when he speaks, I listen.
Yeah,
he's very intelligent.
Just says he's an entrepreneur. So
right, he's an entrepreneur. That's what he is. That's what he does.
Yeah,
the entrepreneurs around.
He founded the pharmaceutical company. Roivant Sciences. Oh, that's Roy in the company's name refers to return on investment. So he had some.
It's not a real pharmaceutical company. Is
clinical
that what you're
trials.
Saying?
It, no, I think it is a pharmaceutical company. Anyway, so
what were you saying? What's your point there, Steve?
Well, we have finally three candidates in double digits.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And Vivek is making the climb.
Listen.
Gaining some traction.
I wish these campaigns didn't have to start so soon, so early, because it's hard to tell until you get closer to election day, because most people aren't like us. We, you know, are political junkies. The average voter out there probably doesn't lock into an election to probably 2 or 3 weeks out.
Yeah.
Now, they know whether they're going to vote in the Republican or the Democrat primary, if it's a primary. But anyway, yes, for right now, former President Trump is way ahead in most of the polls that you see among Republican voters. But, as I say, the other candidates, Vivek Ramaswamy and Governor Ron DeSantis and former Governor of South Carolina Nikki Haley and Senator Tim Scott and Vice President Pence and others, they're going to have a debate coming up in August, and that's going to get a lot of attention. And, you know, it could be that one of those people I just mentioned does rise up to challenge former President Trump. Let me just tell you another thing, a scenario that could happen. The reason all these people are getting in the race right now, and Ed, you and I have talked about this, because you were up to how many? How many people?
I think it was three 12 digits.
12 last week.
Oh, let me count these here.
By the way, the first presidential primary debate for Republicans is scheduled for August 23rd.
14.
So that is coming
August 23rd. And there's a threshold they have to meet to be on the stage. I don't know if the Republican, are they going to, I heard that the Republican National Committee woman, or that chairman,
Ronald McDaniel,
has said that you're going to have to pledge to support whoever the
nominee.
If you're going to be on the debate stage. Is that true?
I don't know.
At one point she did say that.
Huh?
She did say that at one point.
Can you look that up, Ed? Can you Google that?
I can.
Right now,
you have to.
After Ramaswamy, Mike Pence and Nikki Haley are polling at 5%, Tim Scott at 4%, and everybody else is 2 or under.
Okay, so here's what I'm saying. You got how many did you say total?
14.
Okay, 14 right now. And you might say, well, why? You could really say this for any of them. Governor DeSantis has been the closest to Trump in polls, but he's still way behind. And then you got the rest of the pack back there, right?
Yep.
Who've generally been under single digits.
Yes.
But the reason why a lot of these people are getting in the race and staying in the race, first of all, it's way too early, as I mentioned. If you look at surveys of past presidential elections, Trump was at 5% in July of whenever it was.
16.
At 15. Or was it 16?
16. November of 16 was the election.
Barack Obama was way behind Hillary Clinton. So, and there are other examples. Jeb Bush was way ahead in the Republican primary at this date. So I'm saying there's a lot of precedent in the past of people being way ahead to start with who don't end up being the eventual nominee. Now, President Trump has the advantage of being the former president, but here's what could happen. Here's what some of them are probably thinking, although they wouldn't say this out loud because they wouldn't want to say this out loud. But President Trump is under a serious federal indictment in Florida.
Yeah.
And if he is, he's got a trial date set for December. Who knows when the trial would be over. But if he is convicted, then it's a whole new ball game on the Republican side. That's why a lot of these people are probably in there thinking if Trump is not eligible, if he's convicted, then it's open. Then it's an open field, right?
Yeah. I cannot find an official statement about what you said, talking about Ronald McDaniel. Right now, the criteria for being in the Republican debate, they must have already been backed by 40,000 unique donors, including 200 unique donors in at least 20 states or territories.
Right.
And they must garner at least 1% support in 3 independent national polls.
I think you can do that, Ed.
I don't have 40,000.
Sure, you can find 1% out there.
I'll start with donors.
The Italian staying. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.